I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. 5 rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Dear listener, please close your eyes for this movie theater meditation brought to you by Fandango. Breathe in. Smell the fresh popcorn. Now exhale. Open your eyes and proceed to the best seats in the house you reserved on Fandango. Recline. Now, download the free Fandango app for movie times, tickets, and seats at your favorite theaters. Fandango. It's your ticket to the movies.
With the first Jewel claim.
Oh, it's a photo of the Derby! Mystic Sam!
The race for the Triple Crown erupts into an epic party. The Preakness Stakes, May 18th on NBC and Peacock.
Oh my gosh, we got two reports
here. Where are you seeing this? I'm not in the right spot, obviously.
Saquon Barkley is going to the Eagles.
There it is. There it is. There it is. Saquon Barkley. Oh my gosh. They're going to be so scary. That's crazy. And he's going to be motivated to just shove it up the Giants' ass. That's what's even worse.
Oh boy.
And my son's calling me.
Oh my
And you know
gosh.
What that's about.
What's that about?
He's f***ing heartbroken. Saquon's going to the Eagles.
Oh, yes.
He's going. He's calling me right now to tell me, I'm seeing on TikTok or whatever right now.
Yeah, Little Phil sounds like Big Phil all of a sudden. I don't think his voice changed
I don't have
yet.
His
But I will say this. Yeah. Fly, Eagles, fly, onward to victory.
I do.
I'm going to – I should have – that's what I should have done. I should have wore the Eagles throwback hoodie just for you today.
Oh, gosh.
Opportunity missed.
Yes, it was missed. Thank God.
Suck it, Sims.
Thank you, God.
Saquon,
yeah.
Going to the Eagles.
Gosh.
He's a turncoat.
Hurts.
He's
it hurts.
He's got Tiki Barber all twisted up.
It hurts.
Not that that's – the whole – The Tiki Saquon thing was a little overblown, but it was an interesting break from the constant stream of transaction yesterday. We'll get to Saquon in a second. We'll get to it right now because it came down to DeAndre Swift out. That's why I thought we were getting to Saquon in a second, but it's a hot second after that. DeAndre Swift out in Philly, Saquon Barkley in. One of the first deals to happen yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, negotiating a multi-million-dollar deal in 5 minutes.
Right.
Wink, wink.
Yeah.
Saquon Barkley, before he goes to the Eagles, DeAndre Swift, who was traded for a fourth-round pick and a flip of seventh-rounders last year by the Lions to the Eagles to his hometown of Philly, boom, he's to the Bears. That was the first deal to hit about 10 minutes in. DeAndre Swift to the Bears on a 3-year, $24 million deal. And the first question was, well, what are the Eagles going to do? And we found out not long after that, as you found out, as your son found out, as everybody found out, they fill that spot with, all due respect to DeAndre Swift, a better running back in Saquon Barkley.
Yes, yeah. I mean, here's the first thing. One, I'm so happy for Saquon Barkley. I really am. I say that, you know, from the bottom of my heart. I think you know that. I'm a huge Saquon Barkley fan. I think his talent is incredible. I don't think he's ever been in an offense or a situation that is really conducive to showing all his talents, right? And, of course, we both have a soft spot in our heart for running backs, you know, is even as good as this contract is. I mean, come on, Saquon Barkley is the kind of freaking athlete that, like, you know, again, we got guys all over the league that are making $28, $30 million a year. We're talking about one of the freakiest athletes in the sport, and we're like, yes, he's just going to get $12 million a year, right? But still, at least it's something. And it's a little bit of a security for a guy that's a game changer still. And then you couple that into a game changer with the best offensive line in football, the best duo at receiver in football, right? A damn good quarterback and that tight end they got. And I go, well, damn, how are defenses going to have answers for the Philadelphia Eagles? I mean, they're phenomenal. They really are. And Saquon now, for the first time in his career, is going to be an offense that it has space. He's going to be in a Barry Sanders type of setting. You know, I know it's not in the run and shoot, but it's shotgun. It's we got to worry about these receivers. We got to worry about Hurts running the ball, right? And the defense is going to be spread out, and Saquon Barkley's going to have room to operate, let alone, I mean, come on, Saquon Barkley, he's got, you know, one of the best left tackles in football, maybe the best right tackle in football. Landon Dickerson's one of the best guards in football. We saw him get re-signed like that yesterday. I mean, he's phenomenal. He was an all-pro vote for me, second team, right? So they got it all, and that's where I'm happy for Saquon Barkley. I'm not happy that it's the Eagles, but I am happy for him, and I'm happy for the running back market in general to see it, you know, get kicked up a little bit, which it needed to.
And it really didn't kick the
We'll
see what the deals say. Like the Josh Jacobs deal, we're going to talk about Josh Jacobs coming up. I got the details last night on his deal. Not what it was advertised to be. Let's just say that. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, apparently a dearth of running backs in this year's draft in comparison to any other year where you just throw a shoe and you hit a running back who can come in and rush for 1,000 yards under the right circumstances. Maybe these teams are deciding let's pay them. And remember, when the salary cap goes up 13%, what used to look like, you know, a pretty impressive deal becomes kind of run-of-the-mill.
That's right.
And you're jacking it up to $255.4 million.
Right.
So that's another way for the market at one position to get better. If the entire, you know, with the rising tide lifts all boats, the boat has to lift somewhat when the cap goes up 13%.
Well,
I was just going to say that,
I think it took a, you know, it was going to take a team that felt comfortable with their roster and felt like, hey, we're in a really good spot. We can spend a little extra change on the running back position to really push us over the hump here. And that's where the Eagles, because of what Howie Roseman has done and the construction of that football team, right? This is, there's not many areas you can look at them and go, ooh, they need help here, or they need to get better. Running back, even though DeAndre Swift was great, was maybe one of the things. Safety, other than that, I mean, it's a perfectly constructed team, but yeah, they were a team that was in a spot that went, hey, we can put a little more resources into this position, and the rich get richer because of it.
Built from the inside out,
right,
the outside in. That's where the Jets went awry in 2019, the year after they drafted Sam Darnold. They're trying to develop their team to the point where they get the most out of him. So instead of beefing up the offensive line, they spend a bunch of money on Le'Veon Bell when there was no other team that was chasing Le'Veon Bell. Everything that was out there was fugazi about the Ravens. You know, you had said at the time, Kyle Shanahan was sitting back thinking maybe this thing sinks down to the seven figures per year and I can get Le'Veon Bell. The Jets made the mistake of building from the outside in, not the inside out. When you're already built up from the inside out, you can go out there and make these kinds of deals and pick up a guy from the Giants in Saquon Barkley. And I was starting to say Giants fans are pissed at Saquon. Look, folks, you should not be mad at Saquon Barkley. He gave you 6 years. And the whole idea of the rookie wage scale was we want to make sure the busts don't take a bunch of money out of the system that could go to the great players. Fine. What about the great players? We get screwed. We used to get a lot more than we did. We've earned it. Where's our pay? After 3 years, I'm eligible. Where's my long-term contract? After 4 years, my contract's expired. Where's my long-term contract? Oh, you're doing the fifth-year option on me. Okay, fine, I did it. Where's my long-term contract? Oh, you're going to franchise tag me. Okay, fine. Now am I going to get my long-term contract? No, we're saying bye-bye. I mean, that's what the running back position has kind of become. If you're going to use a first-round pick on a guy, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, see ya. And that's what the Giants did. Don't be mad at Saquon Barkley. They could have paid him what the Eagles are going to pay
him.
Exactly
right.
And they chose to let him walk away. This door swings both ways, folks. Don't be mad at Saquon Barkley. He's doing what's right for him, and he was denied after year 3, 4, 5, and 6. The long-term contract he should have gotten out of the gates. The big money contract he should have gotten out of the gates back when he was drafted.
No,
he still got one,
yeah,
but not like it would have been in past years.
Exactly right. That's where, yeah, Giant fans, you can't be mad at Saquon Barkley. Absolutely not, right? I mean, one, first off, he's a huge difference maker in my eyes still. He's a guy that can do special things in the open field, explosive plays galore. And, you know, on top of that, yeah, like you said, the Giants, of course, they played that game with him a little bit. never gave him as quite value, the value he deserved, and of course, never constructed a team around him to where he could thrive and really show what it was all about anyways. I mean, forget about, you know, bad offensive line. It was the worst offensive line. They never had a passing game that could be like, oh, whoa, we got to worry about, you know, the passing attack. That's going to open the field up for Saquon Barkley. They were rarely in leads late in the game where they could run the ball and go, we're just going to impose our physical will on you and wear you down here. But, man, as far as the pure talent goes and what this guy can do, I mean, you see some of these catches, his ability to change direction side to side, right? I mean, he still has game-breaking speed. He's perfect for the Eagles. He really is, and good for him. Good for the Eagles to a degree. All right, way to go, Eagles. I'll give you that, but I am happy for
Fly, Eagles, fly. Hey, I'm taking applications for new favorite teams. So, Eagles, you play your cards right. Keep sending that swag. Who knows? It may be enough to get Jason Kelce to think twice about retiring. You get Saquon Barkley in that backfield. So, that's where the Eagles and the Giants are. Now, the Giants need somebody else. Saquon Barkley out. Devin Singletary in. Former Bill. Spent a year with the Texans. Was pretty good with the Texans last year.
Yeah.
He flashed. He made him forget about Damian Pierce, who was kind of like the flavor of the month when he was a rookie.
Right.
So now Devin Singletary comes in, and I suspect they'll have a committee approach. They'll have multiple guys. They won't go all eggs in one basket as they try to, you know, get more of a return on their Daniel Jones investment.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Devin Singletary, you know, clearly capable of carrying the load, like you mentioned. Right, Brian Daboll has history with him coming from Buffalo, so he's going to know the offense and be able to step right in and feel comfortable that way. They know what they got there, right? And hey, he's, you know, he's not Saquon Barkley, but he's got a similar skill set, and I think fits that offense. He catches the ball really well out of the backfield, and you could see he can run between the tackles and make some plays himself. So it's a good alternative if you're going to lose Saquon and all that. This is certainly a guy that, you know, will be effective in this offense. And then now hopefully the offense can help him out a little bit too. The Giants did have some good signings on the offensive line yesterday. Hopefully that helps out and opens up some holes from Devin Singletary.
Career high 898 rushing yards last year in his only season with the Houston Texans. So, again, it screams out part of a broader rotation.
No doubt.
But –
right.
That's what a lot of teams do. That's what a lot of teams do.
Yeah, then, Joe Shane draft. Yeah, you know, he was part of the regime that drafted him up there in Buffalo.
Yeah.
And like, to your point,
they know what they're getting.
Right. Daboll, I think, is, you know, from the New England school of thought where, hey, let's have, you know, a few different running backs and you know, use them by the committee approach according to who we're playing, the situation and all that, to what you're alluding to. I would think that's where they want to go.
In Green Bay, there were quotes made by Aaron Jones after the season ended for the Packers about how bright the future is. And my first thought was, there's a good chance you're not going to be part of it. And, of course, you get the reaction from the Packers fans. Oh, how dare you? You know what you're talking about. It's like, the guy's got like an $11, $12 million salary. And he was hurt for most of – this is the problem with running backs as it relates to fans and the team.
Yeah.
From the team – They chew him up and spit him out. The fans fall in love with the guy, and they don't want it to end. And it got to the point where it needed to end for the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Jones. He's out. Josh Jacobs is in. That was one of the surprises for me yesterday. When I saw 4 years, $48 million for Josh Jacobs, I thought, holy crap. Then I saw the numbers. $12.5 million is guaranteed, and that's it. The signing bonus is the only guarantee he has. This is a one-year deal, and he could make, you know, close to $15 million this year if he plays in every regular season game, because he's got like $600,000 tied up in per-game roster bonuses. But the Packers can decide after this year, and there's a trigger early in the next league year of $5.39 million, fifth day of the league year. They have to decide whether or not to make it a two-year deal. But the money next year isn't all that bad. It's like $8, $9 million total max if he plays in every regular season game next year. So, you know, it can be a one-year deal with minimal pain. It's probably two, and then after that, he's probably done in Green Bay, unless he's still delivering at a high enough level that they're willing to pay him eight figures.
Yeah, he's going to have to earn it. I think that's the proper thing here. And you know, Josh Jacobs, when he's at his best, is definitely one of the best running backs in football. I was like you. I was surprised too, right? I wasn't surprised necessarily about the Aaron Jones thing, right? Like, unlike the Kirk Cousins thing, the Aaron Jones thing, Saquon Barkley, like, I knew from people around the league that was happening. That was going to happen. There was too much smoke and, you know, fire and whatever else they're saying you want to throw into that, right? So you felt like this was coming, and you understand it. I mean, Aaron Jones, not the biggest guy in the world. He's getting up there in years. You just talked about it. There's injuries, right, that are starting to creep up on him a little bit. Got banged up last year, right? Josh Jacobs is a true sledgehammer between the tackles type of runner, which I think is what LaFleur is looking for, that guy that can handle the workload and carry the ball 20, 25 times a game, because Jordan Love, too, is great off of play action, what we saw last year. So I'm sure that's the way. They got a good O-line. He's got some heat at receivers as far as speed, right? So I think that's what he's trying to formulate here a little bit. I understand the thought all the way here. When I saw the contract, I was like you. I was going a little bit like, wow, you know, that's risky for a guy who was out of shape for the first 10 or 11 weeks last year and all that. But it boils down to, like you said, it's a one-year deal, and he's going to have to earn it from there, right? And hopefully he can, you know, because we know when he is hitting on all cylinders, there's no question. I mean, he is one of the five or six best running backs in football. Breaks tackles, breaks ankles, moves the pile, right? We had Joey Bosa 2 years ago at the Super Bowl. Remember him telling us Josh Jacobs was the best player he played against. He couldn't get over him. It might have been Nick Bosa. I can't remember. It was one of the Bosas. But either way, that's the type of talent we're talking about, and good for Green Bay. You know, good for Josh Jacobs to get a little change in his pocket.
We have been praising the Packers from time to time because of their organizational structure. It's corporate. There's a CEO. You don't have this one owner who just happens to have enough money to go buy a team.
Yeah.
Like they're going to buy a roller coaster or something, and they don't know anything about roller coasters. But I will say this, and I saw somebody on the payroll yesterday, on the NFL payroll, making excuses for the Green Bay Packers that they don't guarantee salaries, that that's why only $12.5 million is guaranteed. They don't guarantee salaries. Well, why? Why won't you guarantee salaries? I mean, that's going to put you at a disadvantage when you've got a player you want who's got a relatively comparable financial offer, and one team guarantees salaries for the first couple of years and the other team doesn't. Like, shame on you. And it's not like there's some owner whose pocket it's all coming out of. The profits keep getting reinvested into the team. Like, that to me seems a little dysfunctional. Well, that's just what they do. Well, nobody else is doing it.
Yeah.
So if you want to compete with everybody else, it's kind of stupid, frankly.
Right. We've heard those type of rules, right? The Bengals had rules. The Steelers had rules. They're
Steelers
all
do that. Yeah.
They're all
can't negotiate contracts once the season
unless
starts.
He's a damn superstar. I mean, you know, I don't know. We've seen rules getting broken here and there. Now, yeah, I'm with you there. They got to break some of those guidelines and get with the modern times here. But for this particular contract and what we're talking about here, I think it's the right structure. I'd be scared to guarantee too much money to Josh Jacobs, not because of the talent on the field, but again, there's a reason he was kind of in the doghouse in Josh McDaniel's first year with the Raiders, right? You know, then, of course, he has a good year. And then, of course, last year there's the, I'm waiting to get a long-term contract. And like we talked about, or I said a few seconds ago, he comes in out of shape and is not the same type of player. So I think they realize, wait, we got to, like, we'll give him some money. We give him a year. But I think this guy's best when he's got to earn it. I think if we just give it to him, I think they're probably like, ooh, we're not sure what we're going to get here. And I think it's the proper approach for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, they use a lot of per-game roster bonuses, $600,000 each of the first 2 years, $700,000 in the last 2 years. That's the total. You earn it one game at a time. You have to be on the active 46, 47-man roster in order to get it. And so, yeah, that's how you play through injury. You woo yourself through it because you know you got a big check riding on whether or not you play, whether or not you're available to play on that given Sunday.
Reputation's big, Mike. Part of the Saquon Barkley contract is reputation. It is. They know, like we were saying yesterday, he's obsessive about taking care of his body, working, being a professional. So they felt comfortable going, hey, here's $26 million guaranteed. We know you're not going to fall off earth here, right? You're not gonna do that. You haven't shown to be that. They've, I'm sure, talked to people. And that you know, I think bought him a little extra cushion, or at least change in the cushions when all said and done.
In that same division, the Cowboys losing Tony Pollard. He's out 1 year after being franchise tagged. Yeah. He's in with the Tennessee Titans, and Derrick Henry clearly now not in the mix. And, you know, when you get about 24 hours into this process, if there are big names that have yet to agree to terms, that tells you they're not getting what they thought they were going to get.
Exactly.
That's usually the rule of thumb, that it's not out there the way you thought. Because if it's out there, you're going to get gobbled up quickly. You're going to get a deal in principle within the first 6, 7, 8 hours at the latest. The fact that Derrick Henry is still hanging around as we get into day two tells me that Derrick Henry had higher expectations than what the offers turned out to be, and clearly not going back to the Titans. I had heard at the scouting combine, and we asked Brian Callahan about it, and he said all the right things. I heard they're not bringing him back. They're trying to start a new thing here. The question is who's going to move him in.
Right. I mean, we know how this works. This is, you know, it's out with the old and with the new, right? It's like, hey, Bobby Wagner's still good, but Mike McDonald in Seattle, like he don't want to hear about how Pete Carroll used to do things and this and that. He's starting his new thing here, right? And I think that's what a lot of new head coaches want to do. I understand that, you know. So Brian Callahan's getting fresh blood in there. Right, he wants his own players that fit his system, you know, and not having to have his hands tied to, you know, a legend, you know, that had his prime years in the organization a few years ago. Right, so yeah, it's over for Derrick Henry. We knew that. I mean, again, they give him a video at the end of the year to say goodbye. I think that can't be more of a, you know, writing on the wall, right? As far as that's concerned. But I like this Tony Pollard signing. I do. You know, I think Tony Pollard fits what. I think what we're going to see, you know, out of Brian Callahan in this offense, right? He talked to us. It's going to be Bengals-ish with his own little twist on things, right? So Pollard, yeah, can run the football, but for the most part, yeah. Well, I'm going to expect them to – they want to live through the passing game a little bit. Pollard and the short passing to intermediate passing game at that. Pollard's going to be effective at that. Of course, he's still got game-breaking skills. You didn't get to see the full talent of Pollard last year on display. I don't think he was himself till late in the year coming off that fibula, a broken fibula or tibula, whatever he had there in the 49ers divisional playoff.
Tibia.
Yeah,
leg.
One of those, exactly.
When in doubt, go with leg.
Right. So that fit, you know, what they want to do offensively. And then you couple that with, hey, my dad's an offensive line coach, and he's awesome. And, ooh, and we signed Lloyd Cushenberry, right, one of the better centers in all of football to go along with it. You know, we're seeing the transformation of what Brian Callahan wants and envisions his team to look like on that side of the ball in Tennessee.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. Now we wait and see where Derrick Henry might land. It's not going to be in Washington because Antonio Gibson's out. Austin Eckler is in for the Washington Commanders. He had wanted out. He had wanted to get paid. It's a two-year deal worth up to $11.43 million. I've got the number somewhere, and it's going to take a lot to get up to $11.43 million. This is a guy who's on the downward slope of his prime. If he's still in his prime with running backs, you never quite know. But Gibson goes to the Patriots, leaves the Commanders for New England, and Eckler in one of the first moves made by new GM Adam Peters to try to make that Commanders team better. I'd like, you know, maybe they'll go a little younger in the draft, but it's about getting a little sizzle. That's a little sizzle.
Yeah.
It's a little, you know, reason for Commanders fans to get a little excited, although the best years for Austin Eckler are behind
him. Yeah, they are. They still got Brian Robinson, right? Don't forget about that. He's still going to be the main guy. I do. But Eckler, he fits the, you know, hey, we're going to be in the shotgun. Cliff Kingsbury spread the field out. And, of course, he's going to be able to be a great pass catcher and runner out of those type of situations. A different, you know, yin to the yang of what Brian Robinson is, which is big and powerful and run people over. Now you got a guy that comes in as a jitterbug and, you know, all about quickness and has some great value in the passing game. So certainly fits their offense and what they want to do.
I think it's yin, not yang.
Yeah, I know. I think you're right. Yeah.
But you do want to have running. It does help to have running backs up the yin yang, but you want to have one yin that is to the yang.
Yeah, you know, it should be yin and yang. It just sounds better that way. That's one of those where I accidentally fall into it, and then I'm not going to change it because I'm like, mine's yin and yang goes better together than yin and yang.
Meanwhile,
You know?
Meanwhile, Austin Eckler's out in L.A., and a little Harbaugh brothers arm wrestling match for Gus Edwards ensues.
Yeah.
Not that the Ravens were definitely going to keep Gus Edwards, and I kind of think Derrick Henry's going to end up in Baltimore by the time it's all said and done, and the Ravens are just going to wait and let the market flatten and get him for a lot less than they would have early in the process. But Gus Edwards makes the jump from John to Jim, from Baltimore to L.A., and Joe Ortiz knows a thing or two about Gus Edwards as well. He was there. The GM of the Chargers was there in Baltimore. So this is a familiar name and face, and a guy who epitomizes what John had in Baltimore and what Jim's trying to bring to the Chargers.
Yeah, he fits the Harbaugh mold, right? And we know the Chargers got Jim, who's, of course, got knowledge of the Ravens organization, and a GM that came from Baltimore. So they know what they're getting in Gus Edwards, and we know Jim likes running backs that can be sledgehammers and run it up in there and impose the physical will and physicality that Jim Harbaugh wants on his football team. So, yeah, get Gus Edwards. You got something there now. You're insured at the running back position to have a guy you like. And I would probably I would expect them to be drafting a running back that's, you know, pretty good and a part of the rotation almost instantly in this year's draft.
Blake Corum.
Yeah, that's
because,
right.
You may draft him around earlier than you want, but you're going to be able to get him if you really want him, because running backs don't get overdrafted in today's NFL. Finally, the Bengals may be drafting a running back to go along with Zach Moss because Joe Mixon is out. Last year, when it looked like he was in serious jeopardy of being cut, he redid the last 2 years of his contract to make it more palatable. And I thought at $6 million, the Bengals would ride this thing out. He still had 1,000 rushing yards last year, even with Joe Burrow gone for most of the year with the wrist injury. But he's out. Zach Moss is in on a two-year, $8 million deal, reportedly. The thing about Mixon, I mean, you look at it and say, from the team's perspective, I get it. You hang on to Mixon because maybe it gives you leverage when you're trying to do the deal with Moss. The problem is, if you're done with Mixon, it would have been nice for him to be out there yesterday. I mean, maybe the Titans would have been interested in Joe Mixon, and Brian Callahan would have thought, hey, you know, maybe we can get this guy down here. He enters the market a day late and a few dollars short now, being cut by the Bengals last night instead of Sunday, or instead of the Bengals just telling the world this is what they're going to do the start of the league year, like the Broncos did with Russell Wilson. Mixon is a guy who shows up late and may not get what he would have gotten if he'd had a little bit of a head start.
Yeah, I hear you there. I think he'll still have options. A little bit like what you said with Derrick Henry. Here's another guy. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him on Baltimore, right? Or even, hey, we just saw Tony Pollard leave the Dallas Cowboys. I wouldn't be shocked if we saw him with the Dallas Cowboys and something similar to that too, right? Now, yeah, the Cincinnati wasn't comfortable with the pay anymore, and they wanted to move on, and you know, they got a little younger. And hey, they got the kid, you know, from Cincinnati, Brown, right? Who we saw at the end of the year catch a few screens. Chase Brown's, excuse me, way to go, Pete, for saving me there. I was going to call him Chris Brown, but that's a singer. Chase Brown, he's got some skill. He's got three rockets up his ass, right? We saw screens down the sideline for 60-yard touchdowns. I think he's going to be the guy. And Zach Moss will be the guy that's coming off the bench, or let me spell him. But, yeah, they've moved on. And I still think Joe Mixon's a good player. He's going to have some options here when all said and done, Mike.
He's only 27.
Yeah.
He's only 27.
Right.
And he's had some solid years with the Cincinnati Bengals. And this is good for the other teams who would be interested in him because, yeah, some of these teams that maybe spent yesterday not realizing Mixon's going to be available would have maybe tried to get Mixon instead. So we'll see where he ends up. We need to take a break. Before we do, though, Pete advises us that in Chinese, yin means dark side and yang means light side. Yin and yang is a term first found in Chinese philosopher inscriptions from the 14th century BC. So they probably weren't thinking about the eventual preferences of you
great
or me.
Chinese philosophers. Just think of me next time in the future. It's yin and yang is easier. It'd be easier to publicize out there.
All right.
I'm an idiot.
we do not have great philosophizing up the yin yang here on PFT Live, but we do have football news and analysis when we return. Any Giants fans upset about the departure of Saquon Barkley? Probably happy about some of the things that happened later in the day.
Yes.
We'll get to that next here on PFT Live.
Aha! We have good news.
The Premier League is built on hope. The hope of discovering a new star.
It doesn't take long for Darwin Nunez to make an impression.
The hope of rewriting history.
Leaves his calling card.
And the hope of continuing a dynasty.
Unstoppable week after week.
This is the Premier League on NBC, USA and Peacock.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics, this summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Yeah, well, we got a little curveball on Friday afternoon. I was sitting in my office, and I was actually watching free agents, and we got the email from the league on the salary cap, and we were operating off some pretty conservative estimates, I would say, in terms of mapping out our offseason.
What did you think it was going to be?
We were around that 243 range is kind of where we were estimating. So when I opened the email, I was like, oh my gosh. And, you know, we gave the staff a couple days off and the weekend off, and we're going to reconvene here. So now that the new numbers, again, we're going to recalibrate later today and kind of look at, okay, now we have a little bit more flexibility. You know, we were in good shape as it was, but now maybe we have a couple more options on the table for not only our players, but players outside the organization that may come into the mix now.
Joe Shane with the Scouting Combine a couple of weeks ago about their pleasant surprise when the salary cap bumped to $255.4 million. Yes, they lost Saquon Barkley, but they did get Brian Burns from the Panthers, a whopping five-year, $150 million deal. We've got the details. We'll break them down at PFT later today. And they got him for only a second and fifth-round pick. This is a team that supposedly said no thanks to multiple first-rounders in the past. They dragged their feet on trading Brian Burns and dragged their feet. And then when they finally they didn't get anything close to what they could have gotten for Brian Burns.
Yeah.
Thanks for nothing, David Tepper.
Well, that's where...
This is the roster management equivalent of throwing a drink on your fans.
Well, hey, you're funny. There we go. It's 3 weeks in a row you brought it up. You're hot. You're going to keep the streak alive here. But this is something I think we've learned from this process. A little bit like the Jerry Jeudy thing with the Broncos. When you're going to dangle somebody out there and tell them you want to trade them and do all that for an extended period of time, right? When that period ends and you don't pull the trigger on the trade, you better be damn sure to keep the guy, because like the value is not going to be the same 3 months later. Now we're going to trade him again. The guy doesn't want to be here. We know you don't want him anymore. You showed your hand the first time, and I think that's what we got a little here in this situation. You know, they knew. Everybody in football knew that, I mean, Burns wanted out of there. The Panthers weren't going to be willing to pay the money that he was kind of looking for at the position. So they played their hand too aggressively there, showed their hand too aggressively, and like you're saying, it kind of ultimately burned them from maybe the total value of assets they could have gotten return for him.
And I think that's a great counter to the idea that, you know, when you're at the trade deadline and you want what you want and you don't get what you want, it's tempting to say, well, look, we were going to get picks in next year's draft anyway. Let's just trade this guy before next year's draft. We'll get the same picks, but maybe you won't. Maybe you're getting a premium because that team is getting the guy now. The team that is knocking on your door trying to get that player thinks they're going to make their team better in this effort to try to get to the playoffs or advance as far as they can. Once the dust settles, there's not going to be that urgency. And to your point, the player is going to be
disgruntled,
even more, yes, and want to get out.
Right.
And so, lesson learned, thanks to the Panthers, and something to factor into the trade deadline thought process in the future, and something that we need to remember when the trade deadline rolls around. Anybody that's thinking about it and saying, well, you know, well, we don't want that offer because we could get that in the offseason. Can you? Or is your best opportunity to get a real return for the player right now?
Yeah.
For the Panthers, it was at the trade deadline, especially in 2022 when the Rams reportedly offered two first-round picks and a second-round pick for Brian Burns. The Rams should be thanking the Panthers for saying no to that one. Because you see yesterday, it wasn't the Rams showing up with better than a 2 and a 5 to get him.
No, and you're right. I mean, yeah, 2 and a 5, right? Of course, what hurts the process a little bit is the fact that, you know, you're going to have to pay the guy big money, or that he wants that, you know, somewhat quickly walking into the door. That hurts the value a little bit as well. Okay, but nonetheless, I mean, the big thing is, as a Giant fans and having the bad news of Saquon early on in the process, to get have the, whoa, wait, we got Brian Burns now? Whoa, like the Giants haven't had a front seven that looks like this since, you know, back when we were winning Super Bowls or back in the 80s. That's where I'm like excited as a Giant fan, is we're starting to look like the G-men are supposed to. You know, you couple Dexter Lawrence, Brian Burns, Kayvon Thibodeau, you know, Okereke at middle linebacker, right? McFadden, right? And the other middle linebacker, Micah McFadden, right? You couple that, I mean, you name those names, you go, well, the Giants front seven, that's kind of serious, right? Shane Bowen coming from the Mike Vrabel school of coaching. We know pass rushers, but there's a little 3-4 element in there too. Brian Burns is extremely athletic. He can drop into coverage. He can do everything on the football field. There's really not a lot of weakness to Brian Burns. So as far as the Giants are concerned, I'm pumped that we got that type of player and got a big blue wrecking crew type of look up front that we haven't had in a long time in New York.
And on one hand, you look at this and say, boy, you're making all these investments in your front seven at a time when the NFL is making the game safer and safer for quarterbacks. They let the offensive linemen hold. They let them leave early. They throw flags for nothing, the passer. But if you can get a front seven that is so dominant that it just overwhelms, like the Seahawks front seven overwhelmed the Giants last year on that Monday night.
Right.
It doesn't matter. Hold all you want. Start early all you want. As soon as the ball's snapped, you're going to be engulfed in blue jerseys. That's what they're trying to put together.
Yeah, they're trying to put that together, right? And within the same time, and we talk about this a little bit, right? They got to be worried about, wait, oh, damn, we've got to play the Eagles. We got to play the Eagles twice a year. They're in our division, and they have five killers on offensive line. So we better not have just five average Joes over there on the other side to deal with it. I think that's the thing you got to look at, too. And, hey, what we're seeing, and again, the best teams in football have the elements that you're talking about more times than not. Whether it's the Eagles in the Super Bowl 2 years ago, the 49ers and the Chiefs, their front seven, right, Mike? Right? We don't have to blitz or do crazy stuff. We can do everything with these guys. They can be dominant there. You know, the Baltimore Ravens, big, physical, unbelievable front seven, right? There's something to that there. And especially with all the things that offenses are doing right now with, hey, it's shotgun one play and then it's hurry up and we're underneath the center and we're going to run the ball. You need guys that are talented up front, that are versatile and can adjust to all that stuff and not have to come off the field just because, oh, they were in shotgun one play and now they're in the power running set. I think that's what, you know, Joe Shane and company are trying to formulate there with New York.
With Josh Sweat being available in trade by the Eagles and Hassan Reddick as well, Bryce Huff from the Jets gets 3-year, $51 million deal.
Woo.
To beef up that rotation in advance of, I mean, this tells you somebody's out. One or more guys there
Definitely.
Is going to be out, whether
right.
he's traded or released. When you make this commitment to Huff, you got to make room on the cap. You got to make room on the depth chart for this guy.
This is, I mean, what a move. What a move, right? I mean, Bryce Huff is a freak. He is a freak of nature. He is going to thrive in Philadelphia, right? He didn't get on the field as much as he probably should have with the New York Jets. Like, right? Like, I got done with, you know, my quarterback rankings and do all that, but then I try to watch top free agents and have a good feel for them on film. Bryce Huff was one when you turned on the film, you were just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Bryce Huff is going to be awesome. Let alone, it's the rich getting richer. It really is, right? Howie Roseman talked to us at the Combine about, you know, he didn't want to give us his secret to his success or whatever, but his thing was kind of staying ahead of the rest of the NFL, right? Being cutting edge. He's cutting edge right now. I mean, how many defensive ends do you need, right? They got Nolan Smith, who's a freak himself, who they drafted in the first round last year. They just re-signed Brandon Graham, and now they'll lose either Sweat or Hassan Reddick, whatever one gets them the best deal, and they'll probably end up keeping the other. So they're going to have four unbelievable pass rushers. Versatility, I mean, incredible. Let alone, I think it's the proper thing to do, right? Hey, supplant the older guys that want more money with a younger guy who, yeah, he's getting good money, but it's, you know, he's younger, he's in his prime, and the older guys are asking for every bit as much, if not more. And that's where it's brilliant. I mean, you couple this freaking guy with those guys they got on their front already. Holy crap. I mean, he's, like I said, he's a freaking nature, Mike. Three rockets up his ass, strong as hell, 6'3", 255. The question is, can he play on first and second down? Yes, he will. There's not going to be a problem. Great signing by the Eagles and Howie Roseman.
10 sacks last year in 17 games with zero starts.
Yeah.
For Bryce Huff. Right. He led the league, according to Next Gen Stats, in pressure rate. 21.8% of the time he was putting pressure on. And that's why, look, stats are great. Stats are the reward for getting home, but there are all sorts of different, or sacks, excuse me. Sacks are the thing that is the icing on the cake. The work is put in effing up the play.
That's
the work
right.
is put in flushing the guy out of the pocket, in getting him off of his point, in hitting him legally after he gets rid of the ball, in disrupting him, in hurrying him, in everything that goes into it. The sack is the sexy part of it that gets the attention and wins awards, but it's all the other stuff you do that Huff does. It's just constant, relentless pressure, 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 pressure on a passing offense that makes it harder for that offense to operate.
Yeah, they got a top-tier, one of the best edge guys in football for, you know, the money that you'd maybe give a B-plus pass rusher, right? And the only reason it's not more is because of the things you talked about, not playing more, being undrafted, right, never being put in the lineup all the way. They drafted Jermaine Johnson, right? They had Jonathan Franklin Myers. Then they drafted another longer edge guy out of Iowa State last year, right, in the first round instead of taking the offensive lineman and Will McDonald. So, you know, they can't keep everything. They got two first-rounders they drafted. They have to go there with that. And, you know, here's Bryce Huff going to the most loaded team in football, and for $17 million a year is really it's ultimately, I think, going to be a steal for the Eagles, and they're going to shove it up everybody's you-know-what here this year with this defense. Holy crap.
Wow, and they got Saquon Barkley.
Yeah,
man,
I know.
Have a hard time
yeah,
this year with the
right.
D-men.
They just came here up to New
Eagles.
York and pillaged
Watch
the New
the
York
Eagles.
Area. Right, exactly right. I mean, come on, we know this. I mean, this is not news. This was an underwhelming performance by a team that had definitely one of the two or three best rosters in football last year. They're going to be refocused, and they're making improvements to the roster. So, yeah, watch out.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, Brian Burns, not the only defensive player to get a nine-figure contract yesterday. We'll tell you who and talk about it next here on PFT Live.
Max Crosby got on me for this when I said this at the Super Bowl. He said he had a bone to pick with me.
I got a bone to pick with you, too. I know you always give the Raiders a hard time. So.
Oh, ooh, go, man. Go. Let's
you
do
always
it.
Give my Raiders
Let's
a hard time. I mean, you got to put some respect on us
oh,
a little bit.
I,
a little bit. You know, it's all love at the end of the day.
I
but,
know.
I mean, you got to show the Raiders a little bit more respect.
My comment I always made about the Raiders, they're just lacking a few blue-chip players on their defensive side of the football, right? And he attacked me a little bit.
He's
like,
a listener to
I
the
heard
pod.
You say that. I heard you say that. I don't like that. We got a lot of good players. Okay, so Max Crosby, you now have a lot of good players, and you have a really awesome player on your defensive line in Christian Wilkins. That's what I like about this.
Christian Wilkins heading from the Miami Dolphins to the Las Vegas Raiders. You know, the Vikings were supposedly in that to a certain extent because Brian Flores has the connection to Wilkins. The Dolphins just didn't have the cap space to keep him around. They're in a cap crunch. Yep. This wasn't one of those, oh, we're done with this guy. They would have liked to have kept him, a luxury they can't afford. The Raiders can't afford it. Reportedly, $110 million contract. We'll break it all down at PFT. The details on these deals are starting to trickle in. 4 years for Christian Wilkins and a big, as you say, F the play-up guy, a disruptive force in the middle that makes the rest of a defense go. And, man, he makes Max Crosby's job a lot easier with the havoc he can create.
Yeah. No disrespect to any of the Raiders players out there. And no, you know Max Crosby. But this is what I'm talking about, Max. This is what I'm talking about, this kind of guy. This kind of guy who now is going to be like, they're going to be like, wait, what do? We need to slide another guy over to Christian Wilkins. But damn, there's Crosby over here. And Patrick Graham, right? He's from the Brian Flores School of Coaching, New England, all that, right? You know, Wilkins can do it all. Wilkins could be one of those guys, Mike, that's like, hey, we play 4-3. We just got to win that gap. Hey, we're playing 3-4, and you got to control the guy and two-gap him. He does all of that. And, you know, you said it right. This is not about the player. The player is phenomenal. I mean, he's in the class of the top tackles in football. Your Jeffrey Simmons, your Quinnen Williams, your Dexter Lawrence. He's a part of that group of guys. This is a special, special football player. So good for the Raiders. And, hey, that contract, you know, at base level, and I know we don't have it unpacked yet and all the details, but it is kind of eye-popping with the numbers that are out there right now. You know, other than Chris Jones, it's certainly significantly better than, right, all the other guys that recently signed contracts at defensive tackle, not named Aaron Donald, at least.
Yeah, that's right. And it, I'm going to get the actual full inside breakdown, but one comment that was made to me earlier today was that this is going to make the Justin Madubuike deal not look all that great. And it just shows that the Ravens were wise to swoop in and get Madubuike done before the market took off this week. One of the points I made last week about the Jalen Johnson deal in Chicago, why are you doing these long-term deals with franchise tag players? Why are the players doing these deals when the deadline's July 15? The offer's not going to get any worse between now and July 15. It's only going to get better. And this Wilkins deal, you know, everybody's been trying to catch Aaron Donald, just kind of slowly working it up that way. Wilkins gives it the biggest boost yet to get to that Donald Chris Jones level of 31.6, 31.7 million per year.
Yeah, well, hey, they got money to spend. They need players. We know they got it. They need some difference makers, right? And you got a head coach who's about defense and all that, and you want to get this new era in Las Vegas off to a good start and get some pizzazz and some energy in the locker room and, like, some belief behind guys and all that, you get difference makers and culture guys like Christian Wilkins, right? That's the other thing, too. We're talking about a guy that's, you know, locker room, great leader, right? Energy every day. Anybody I talk to or hear from, he's one of the greatest crap talkers there is out there. So, damn, quarterbacks and offensive linemen, you got to deal with crazy white guy Max Crosby and now crazy black guy Christian Wilkins in the middle. They're going to be talking so much smack, you're not going to know who to talk back to.
You got to wonder at what point, and again, I'm not trying to stir trouble here, but Max Crosby has to look at the Wilkins deal and look at his own deal and, you know, at some point, where do you go? What do you do? How do you even it out? I'm always nervous when a team gives big money to somebody who isn't homegrown because it makes the guys who have been there, who have been putting in the work, putting in the time, putting in the effort, showing the loyalty, being part of the solution, or at least the attempted solution, they need to get their reward too. But this is the kind of move that a team makes when, hey, look, there's two ways to beat the Chiefs if you can. You either outscore them or you hold them in check. They held them in check on Christmas Day. They got a glimpse of what they could do against the Chiefs under the right circumstances. You add Christian Wilkins to the mix, a little bit easier to try to hold the Chiefs in check when you have both Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins chasing Patrick Mahomes around, disrupting everything he's trying to do, et cetera, et cetera. The Raiders on offense trying to get better at quarterback. Now, Antonio Pierce has been talking openly, maybe a little too openly, about what they want to do. He wants to draft a guy. He wants a long-term answer. He doesn't want a Band-Aid.
He doesn't want to be position the regime just before him was in. He knew. He saw that. He was like, wait,
right.
McDaniels and company didn't try to get a quarterback? Oh, their ass is out of here? Damn, I don't want to be that. We need somebody right now to make the future look bright. Beacon of hope, as I always say. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there.
And here he comes in Gardner Minshew, a guy who took the Colts to the brink of the playoffs last year. Got to week 18. Played the Texans on Saturday night and almost won the game. So Minshew's a guy who needs to have a home and a fair shot to be the starter, not just the stopgap. But he could end up being that same guy this year. Just like last year when he signed with the Colts. Oh, that's their starting quarterback. Oh, wait, they drafted Anthony Richardson. Oh, Raiders, he's their starting quarterback. Oh, wait, they traded up and they got one of the top guys. But it gives them protection, just like with the Vikings.
That's what it is.
It's protection against not getting the guy that you want.
That's right.
And it's protection against maybe not getting desperate and overdrafting.
Exactly.
Or trading up too aggressively,
right.
Giving up too much, whatever the case may be. Minshew, this is one of those moves that when it happens – my reaction is, why the hell didn't this happen a long time ago? Because Minshew and the Raiders he was destined to be a Raider at some point. He's got a great infectious personality. You talk about a great locker room guy. They love him in Indianapolis. They love him everywhere he's ever been. They loved him in Jacksonville.
Right.
He said he had just a little bit too much of that white trashiness. That was his bit that Super Bowl week. He was with us and others. He said the same thing over and over again about why they loved him in Jacksonville. The year he came in after Nick Foles.
There's some of that in Vegas. He'll be all right.
Kind of became
he'll work.
The guy.
Yeah.
It just seems like a guy who's walking around with a pack of cigarettes rolled up in his T-shirt and plenty of cigarettes.
Yep.
In Las Vegas.
Hopefully he's not living in a van by the casino or something like that. He doesn't need to do that in Vegas, okay? But, yeah, you said it right. He's an insurance policy. That's what he is. He's better than he gets credit for, right? He can lead an offense, certainly. I think this kind of shows you Aiden O'Connell's backup. But if they do, this doesn't make them as desperate, to your point, where they have to leverage the farm to trade up or do anything. They can be a little bit more tactical as far as how they want to handle the quarterback situation now.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we return, day two of the legal tampering period begins with possibly a big name who was released yesterday finding a new home. We'll discuss that next here on PFT Live.
Are you switching now? Are you
to
switching
the
from the Vikings to the Steelers?
I might.
You might?
Depending upon how today goes, if the Vikings QB1 by Wednesday is Mason Rudolph or Zach Wilson or, dare I say, Sam Darnold, although Darnold I could get behind.
Let's ride, baby. And I thought of you right away because you're such a psychological mess. Now Kirk Cousins, now him signing with the Vikings matters. 2 days ago, you were ready to throw his ass out the door for Baker Mayfield. I hope the Vikings make a play for Baker Mayfield. 1 day ago, sorry, until he signed
it. 18 hours
ago. Yeah. Now you're on the damn Steelers. I can't figure you out. What the hell is wrong with your brain? I don't know.
Yes, it's a crazy time to be someone who was lured into NFL fandom by the team with the purple helmet with the horns on the sides. Guy who's been lured to that team after a career of wearing cheese heads and sombrero.
Whoa.
Aaron Jones. According to NFL media, 1 year, $7 million deal to join the Vikings 1 day after he was released by the Green Bay Packers. They needed to do something post Alexander Mattison. They cut him.
Yep.
That made it obvious that they're going somewhere, somehow, for a running back, and that's the running back that they pursue and land, Aaron Jones. 656 rushing yards last year in only 11 games. $12 million too much for the Packers. And now, hey, you give him a little extra juice, a little extra incentive. You bring him to the Minnesota Vikings, and he gets a chance to play the Packers twice and compete with Green Bay once they figure out who their quarterback's going to be.
Hey, I think this guy is still scary. I really do think that, believe that, right? It's age, right? It's how he pulled his hamstring last year and dealt with that. but we saw him healthy at the end of the year. I mean, look at his damn stats you just saw right there. He rushed for 100 yards in the 49ers divisional playoff game, right? So, and I think it's a good spot. He doesn't have to be the every down, like, 25 carries a game. You guys got Ty Chandler. He's a damn good player. I like him. He'll share the workload with him. Cam Akers, I believe, is still on the roster as well. But, yeah, I expect it to be Ty Chandler and Aaron Jones be mainly, and Aaron Jones being a guy that he'll make some big plays for you guys, Mike.
Cam Akers was on a one-year deal, and he had the torn Achilles tendon, so we'll see what happens with him. But Aaron Jones clearly becomes RB1 for the Vikings. Sam Darnold, QB1, and everything, as always, is to be determined as to where it goes from here. We take a break. We have more PFT Live right after this. Of all the stories that landed yesterday, the one that drew the most traffic at ProFootballTalk.com was posted around dinner time. We had received a statement from Levi McCathern, who represents people like Jerry Jones and some ongoing litigation. He now represents Dak Prescott, not as a defendant, but as a plaintiff. What happened was, on January 16, a letter was sent to Prescott, a demand letter, that's what the lawyers call it, Chris, where lawyers were advising Dak Prescott that they have a client who believes, alleges, accuses Prescott of sexual assault in February of 2017, and for the modest sum of $100 million, will not go to the police and release all claims. And he had until February 16 to give them an answer. What he did on March 11 was he sued everybody for extortion. Everybody. I mean, scorched earth. The accuser, two lawyers, sued on seven different legal theories or thereabouts, basically saying it's all fake, it's all phony, it's all made up, it's all a cash grab aimed at threatening him to quietly give them money, otherwise they'll take this public and make him look bad. He's taking it public,
yeah,
saying it's false. And look, if that's the case, if this is false, this is the way to do it. Fight back. Shout from the rooftops that this is fake and this is phony, and I'll prove it in court that this is all one big effort to shake me down.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's a strong comeback. There's no doubt about that. The kind of comeback that you'd want to see, right, if you want to believe the guy didn't do something like that and is being taken advantage of. And hey, Dak Prescott, he's got the type of money in the bank already to go, oh, okay, hey, you wanna play this game? Well, I got some resources here, too, that can make your life interesting as well. We'll see where it goes. Certainly always sensitive situation, you know, when you talk about these type of subjects here. But, you know, Dak Prescott looking like he ain't going to sit back and be the victim, that's for sure.
He's vowed to donate anything he recovers from this effort to charity. And ordinarily, when you go against an individual, there isn't money there backing it up. But the two lawyers may have assets that are now at risk because of this effort. And look, it's typically very legitimate. If you've got a client with a claim, before you file suit, you send a letter engaging in efforts to resolve it before it goes to court. But, man, when you ask for $100 million out of the gates, something doesn't seem right to me. That's a
lot. I hear you there.
Are you kidding me?
Right.
$100 million is your opener? Why not make it a billion at that point? So, to me, seeing that number made me think these lawyers are up to something or they just don't get it. Because you don't, for a claim like this, based upon the allegations in the letter that they make, $100 million is not a realistic starting point.
Yeah, this is
for any
serious
type of negotiation.
We'll see how these lawyers feel today.
See how it plays out, though.
Right, right.
But, well, and Dak standing up and doing what he thinks is right. And again, it was our biggest story of the day on a day when there were plenty of other big stories. We'll wrap up this Tuesday edition of PFT Live right after this.
And I also want to thank my running back coach, Coach Byrne, at University of Alabama. From what he has taught me, the type of player to be, the type of person to be. You know, you can love this game all you want, but at the end of the day, the game can't love you back because you're not a person. It's a ball.
One of the most unintentionally profound quotes I have ever heard. It is perfect, and it's important to keep in mind as we see these players going from team to team to team and getting cut. You know, get what you can while you can, because the game will chew you up and spit you out, and it will not love you back, especially once you can no longer give it what it needs.
No, it's a brutal game. We know that. It's a brutal business. It's as brutal as it gets. Now, there's great things that come along with it, but it's for a short period of time, and you got to strike while the iron's hot. We know that. But it's tough. See you, Mike. Be okay today.
That's
the Vikings will be all right. See
ya. Have a great day. Serenity now.